Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I recently had a friend and a participant of the God School who goes to another church and sometimes is a speaker there and called me with a problem that he had. And the church is somewhat legalistic, somewhat fundamental, in that they have the opportunity to somehow or other take the whole of Scripture out of context and give an argument within a particular text of Scripture. Now, in understanding Scripture, it is necessary to understand this, that text without context is error. Now, this person I've known for decades and is a man of faith, and he teaches faith. And oftentimes when he does teach faith, he gets countered by Scripture out of context. I want to go back to the very beginning, to our predecessors, our most ancient ancestors, to Adam and Eve. And we find in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, 17th verse, where it says, well, let's go to the 16th verse. Now let's go to the 15th verse. And the Lord God took the man, that is Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden, which means the heart of God, to dress it and to keep it or guard it. And the Lord God commanded Adam, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God made a statement. He gave a fact. Now let's see what happens. In the third chapter, the beginning of the third chapter, it says, now the serpent was more subtle. Now the serpent here is Satan. You need to understand that. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, and the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. What was that tree? It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve, quoting God, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent, that is Satan, said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil." And the rest of the story is that Eve is enticed by the serpent, by Satan, and she entices Adam. Now, they didn't die immediately, but they're removed from the Garden of Eden. They're removed from the heart of God, and something that was not known, death, now becomes part of life. Now, this ministry exists to speak always of God's good news, of the gospel, that is, of the God spiel, that is, what God's word says, and God does what he says. He said, "Let us make man in our image," and it's plural there, Elohim. And, you know, last week we talked of the love of God, and the week before we spoke of thou shalt dwell in safety, and there's a whole lot of people in this world that by circumstance cannot make that statement. But God's people, that is, those who belong to him, that is, those who belong to the Lord, the church, they look not on the things that are seen. We look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And with that, I was moved to search out a phrase in God's book. That is the phrase, trust in him. So we're going to do some searching through, trying to give a gestalt of this relationship that we were having with God, which was interrupted by our predecessors, Adam and Eve, for they trusted Satan and they did not trust God. I want to speak to those who have been called by God and encourage them to continue in the faith. Now, we're going to search out several Old Testament verses. Hopefully, by the end, they'll all be in context for you, so we're not going to be teaching error. But in the Hebrew, there are three words that can be translated trust, and trust is really, in the English language, the best word we have for this relationship with God, because, you know, this word believe It's just not sufficient enough. Faith is action based upon a belief sustained by confidence. It is a trusting relationship we're having with God. And in the Hebrew, three words. Give a picture, if you will, of this relationship that we're having with God. Now, the first word is batach, and it means to lean with your whole body upon a staff with the expectation that the staff can hold you. And it is a leaning, a literal leaning on that staff. The second word in the Hebrew that can be translated faith or trust is hasa. And it means to run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings or the shelter of a rock with the expectation that under her wings or under that rock, we shall be protected. And the third word, translated many times, the English word, it's translated believe, but the Hebrew word is amen. And I find it fascinating that this word, amen, you spell it in the Hebrew, aleph, mem, nun. We pronounce it amen. Some pronounce it amen. Some pronounce it amen. But it is the most transliterated word in the world. Every language has the word amen or some form thereof. And unfortunately, so many have translated it as so be it. So be it. No, the word is means no doubt. No doubt. It's a state of mind. God is an amener. Jesus is an amener in the councils of heaven before the worlds were formed, when contemplating of making man in their image. What about the question comes, what about the misuse of that part of God, which is free? God, to be God, can do whatever he wants. And God gave this freedom to man. And as read in the story before, man misused freedom. And the question was, what do we do now? And Jesus stepped forward. He's called in the Book of Revelation, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He made a covenant with God and said, God, and obviously I'm attempting to give a gestalt of this relationship, but Jesus said, if they do, Father, I'll step in and make available that which is necessary to redeem fallen man, of which we all are. And God's response to Jesus' promise or covenant was, if you do that, I will raise you up. I will give you a name which is above every name. Jesus did what he said he would do, and God did what he said he would do. And that relationship, Jesus had no doubt that God would raise him up, and God had no doubt that Jesus would perform that which he promised. So now, in this context of faith versus some interpretation or some out of context passage of scripture, I want to look at some words in the scripture. 2 Samuel 22:31, David says, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or shield to all them that trust in him." And the word here is hasah, and it's active, and it's a participial word. All them that are trusting in him. 1 Chronicles 5:20. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated, that is, he listened, he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him. The word here is batach. Job, that many of you have heard that saying. Well, Job says, here's the King James translation, "Though he slay me, though he kill me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." Well, this word is yahal. It is another faith word. It actually, the word is hope. Hope. That is the expectation of God fulfilling his promises. Psalm 2:12 says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way." The way is Jesus, who said, "I am the way." "Lest ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little, but blessed are all they who put their trust in him." And any of you that have been with the God school at any time, for any time at all, know this word blessed, asher. It's a state of being. God gifts us faith, gives us the ability to trust him, to trust in him. Psalm 18:30 says, "As for God, his way is perfect, and the word of the Lord is tried." That's repeating 2 Samuel 22:31. "He is a buckler to all those that trust him." Same word, hasah. It is active. It is a participle. Who are trusting in him. Psalm 34:22. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." Hey, I'm almost 75 years old. I've never been married. People have often said to me, "Geez, don't you get lonely?" I'm never alone. God has promised he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Jesus said, "I will be with you always." That's a promise of God that we can trust in, that we can hasa in, the word active again, that we are trusting in. Psalm 37:40, and I love this verse. I love Psalm 37. "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they perform the law." Because they can, like Satan, misquote Scripture. Because, like Satan, they can take Scripture out of context. No. And save them because they trust in him. Hasa, run to the shelter of God's word. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, ye people, and pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Now, this is word is batak. And it is in the imperative case. That means it's a command. Trust in him at all times. Be leaning on God at all times. Psalm 64:10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Now, this word in the Hebrew is hasa, and it's in the simple form. What does that mean? It means just what it says, and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. You need a shield? God is our shield. It says in Psalm 3, God is a shield about us, the lifter up of our heads. Every word of God is pure. That means it's separated. It's like gold separated from the dross, from all the other stuff that might cling to it. It's pure. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth, listen, he knoweth them that trust in him, that are trust, hasa. It's a participial word in the Hebrew. It's active. It's God knoweth them that are trusting in him. We have the phrase in the New Testament. You can only find it once in that with those particular words. It's found in the second chapter of Hebrews. I just want to read on. So let's start at the 9th verse. Let's start at the 8th verse. Chapter 2, Hebrews. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that's not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. What Jesus did. For it became him, For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons and daughters, I'll add, unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Complete. Telios. He did it all, and he said on the cross, Jesus speaking, it is finished. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call you brethren and sistern. Gene used to use that every once in a while. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church I will sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. We can go back to the 21st chapter of Exodus and that type of the perfect servant who, after 6 years, can go out free. But if he gets a wife and children in the midst of his servitude, he can go to the master and say, I love my master and I love my wife and children. And the master will nail his ear with an awl to the door. The type of Jesus, he loved us and gave himself for us. And even Jesus said in doing what he did, I will trust in him. Some other verses. 2 Samuel 22, verse 3 says that the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn that is the power of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. This word here, will I trust, is hasah. It's imperfect. It's in the imperfect tense, which means it is a continuous, open-ended action, constantly running to the refuge or shelter of a mother bird's wings. Can you picture this, folks? Psalm 91, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Batach, leaning upon that staff, leaning upon God and his word and his promises. He is a covenant-making God. He is an amen God. He has no doubt that what he says will be. We may not see it in this temporal life, but we shall see it all in eternity. So, Psalm 119, verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. Romans 15:12 says, again, as Isaiah saith, there shall be a root out of Jesse. Someday, we're going to go through that whole genealogy of Jesus Christ from Adam unto Mary. There shall be a root out of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him, that is Jesus, shall the Gentiles trust. The word there is elpis, it is hope, it is the expectation. That God will perform. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance, the hypostasis, the title deed. You may not occupy the land, but if you have the title deed to it, every court in the world is going to say it's yours. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I want to go to a few other verses and we'll draw this message to a close. In Exodus 14:31, it says, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And let's start over. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord, that is, revered the Lord, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. David in Psalm 27 says, I had fainted, I'd given up, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Not all of God's promises are we going to have to wait for eternity to come into view, or for us to come into eternal things. But David says, I had given up unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you're set God's name, Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. If you need provision, Jehovah Jireh, I'm the Lord that provideth, and so many of his other names. And the last verse I'm going to leave you with is Genesis 15:6. It's speaking of Abraham, the father of faith. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it for righteousness. Who's the he here? And Abraham believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it for righteousness. David in Psalm 27, unless I had amend. Exodus 14:31, and the people feared the Lord and amened the Lord, and he, Abraham, Amen. Had no doubt in the Lord and his word, and he counted it for righteousness. That is, in covenant with God, not the old covenant of keeping of the law, which none ever did, but that which we all can do in the New Testament, the righteous, Romans 1:17, shall live by faith. And that's the God School for today.